Today's Shir's Masechet Shabbos, Daf Nun Ches. We will begin in Daf Nun Zayin Amud Beis, two lines from the bottom, Tana Rabbanan. In our previous Shir, the Gemara had spoken about an istama, and the Gemara, in fact, quoted a brisa. What is the halacha if you're allowed to wear an istama on Shabbos? So the Gemara had said that an istama, according to the Tanakama, could be worn in the chatzar, and the kovel, the Gemara had discussed at the end of yesterday's shir. So the Gemara at the end of yesterday's shir had identified that the istama was the kalya pruche. We said two pshatim actually in kalya pruche. One pshat is that it was there that if hairs are protruding from the woman under her hat, so she could wear the, she used to wear this kalya pruche to catch those hairs. The other pshat that we had learned in yesterday's shir was that a kalya pruche was something that a kala would wear that to prevent the kala from getting bothered by the different insects, flies that may be flying around her. Today we begin the shir going further in discussing the istama. Tana Rabbanan Shlosh Devarim Nemar B'Istama. The three halachas that were said regarding the istama. Ein b'mishum kloyim. The istama was made out of a felt type of material that was made out of fibers pressed together. The isser of shatness is only when you have fibers that have been spun. Since these fibers were just pressed together, there is no isser of shatness. Only when it's a spun material, when it's woven together, different material, different types of material, that's when you have isser shatness. This is therefore not considered shatness. That's one halacha. Vein yotzim ba l'rishus harabim. The halacha is, as we discussed, and we'll continue discussing, you may not go out to rishus harabim wearing the istama on Shabbos. And the third halacha is, I skipped the halacha. Ein metam v'tumas nagon. As we learned earlier in the Masechta, the halacha is that what's considered material regarding shatnas, semeru, pisht, and yachtov, is considered material that could be subject to hilchas tzaras. This material, since it's made in a way where it's not woven together, as we just explained, it isn't subject to hilchas tzaras. And lastly, as we just said, there's no issue of carrying it out to Rishus Rabbim. You may not walk out with it to Rishus Rabbim. Shimon Amru, Afe Ein Bei Mishum Ataras Kalim. The Gemara in Masechta Soita, Daf Mem Tes, teaches us that Chazal enacted certain rules. They were concerned because Zeichel L'Chorban, that we should not do Zeichel L'Chorban. And one of the rules that they enacted was that they used to wear something called the kallis, used to wear some sort of like tiara. And Chazal said that the kallis, zeich lechorben, since it's an excessive amount of simcha, may not wear a taurus kallis while they're a kala. And the question is the istama considered a tara of a kala that she may not wear? And teaches us our Gemara that the istama is not considered part of that gzeira. Why? As explains the Ritva, the gzeira was only made on materials that kalas wore if they were made out of silver and gold. But the istama is made out of material, and since it's made out of material, it's not included in the isser of a tara of a kala. Interesting that the Rishonim debate how long is there an isser, a kala considered a kala. Tosfos says that's during the Sheva Brachos, the 7 days. Others say, the Ritva says, that it's the whole 30 days after the kala is a kala. Moreover, This halacha, as we will learn, only applies to kalas. A woman who's not a kala may wear such an istama. V'Shmuel Amar, we spoke about the kavel in yesterday's shir, and we spoke in our Mishnah that you're not allowed to wear the kavel on Shabbos under certain circumstances. And the question is, what is the kavel? So Shmuel says the kavel is kavla de avda tanan. The kavla that they used to put an emblem on a eved, and the halacha is, that's what you may now wear in the Rosh Hashanah Rabban Shabbos. Obviously, Shmuel would hold the other pshat that we spoke, that a kavla is the cap that a woman wears on her head. Shmuel will hold that a woman may wear such a cap, because as we explained previously, Shmuel's not concerned that a woman would take that cap off because it would involve revealing a hair. Ask the Gemara, Miyam Shmuel, did Shmuel say that an Eved, that kavel means kavel de avda, that the emblem that an Eved wears and that the halacha is that you're not allowed to wear that? Ask the Gemara, Vam Shmuel, Shmuel's the one that paskins, Yoitza Eved Bechaisim Betzavaroi. An Eved may wear the sign, the emblem that he wears around his neck. Avaloi Bechaisim Beksusai. In other words, there were two types of Kavla de Avda. There was one that they wore around the neck, and there was one that they wore sewn onto the Begit. So he says, the one that they put around the neck, you're allowed to wear. The one that's on the beged, you're not allowed to wear. And we'll explain soon why. We're obviously speaking about, according to Shmuel, something that is made out of clay. And therefore, if it's around the neck, it's going to break if it falls. And if it's broken, it's useless and it's worthless. It's clay. On the beged, it's different, and we'll see soon why. But here we're seeing that Shmuel defines kavel as kavla da avda, and that you're never allowed to wear kavla da avda, says the Mishnah. And here Shmuel differentiates between the one around the neck and the one on the beged. Answers the Gemara loy kasha. Ha David loy rabbi, the one that his owner makes him wear, that he's always allowed to wear, because he's not going to take that off, because his owner makes him wear. For ha, David ila nafshi. If he only voluntarily made it, he's not obligated to wear it. And since he's not obligated to wear it, we're concerned that he may take it off and carry it in Rosh Hashanah Rabban. So now the question, of course, is, why would somebody make such an emblem for himself? Why would somebody want to advertise that he's an Eved? So the Meiri says that they used to collect taxes, but an Eved wasn't obligated to pay taxes. So the Eved will walk around with this emblem that he should know, that they should know that he's not obligated to pay taxes. The Tzlach says a beautiful pshat. He says, we know throughout Shas that Avodim, we're talking about Avodim Kananim, says the Tzlach, Amechuy b'mitzvahs, are obligated in mitzvahs kenoshim. They only have the same status as women. So here you have an Eved that people may think that he's a full-fledged Jew. And because people may think that he's a full-fledged Jew, and then they'll see he's walking in the street, and he's now wearing tzitzis. He's now wearing tefillin. They used to wear tefillin, as we learned, all day long. And they would accuse him, why are you now wearing tzitzis? Why are you now wearing tefillin? But if he has an emblem that he's an Eved, so everybody knows that the reason he's not wearing tzitzis tefillin, because he's an Eved. An Eved is only obligated in mitzvahs like women. That's why an Eved on his own may want to make himself this type of emblem. So how we explain that when Shmuel said that an Eved is allowed to carry an emblem, Davalei Rabbi, that his owner made it. So if that, and therefore, as we explained a moment ago, since his owner made it, he's always going to wear it. So ask the Gemara, so why did Shmuel say that if its emblem is sewn onto his beged, a mailoi, if his owner made it for him, he's always going to wear it. If he's always going to wear it, we should not differentiate. Efer the Gemara, Dilma Mifsik. Because what may happen is that the emblem will get detached on Shabbos, and now he has his garment with the emblem detached. And he's scared to walk with that garment without the emblem prominent. Mirsus, he's scared that his owner may see him walking in the street. And we're talking now about a case where the owner tells him, you always have to wear this emblem. Well, Mirsus a mikbele. So what he's going to do is, akasve, umanachal akasve. He's going to put the garment on his shoulder. He's not going to wear the garment. As we've learned and we'll continue learning. Wearing a garment is 100% mutter on Shabbos. You can walk under Shusar Abim when you're wearing the garment. But if you're carrying the garment, that is usur. And we're concerned that he's going to fold the garment over his shoulder, which is considered carrying, because he doesn't want everybody to, he's afraid that his owner will catch him wearing the garment without the emblem. If somebody just walks out with his garment over his shoulder on Shabbos, he's chayv chatas for carrying. And therefore, even though it's an emblem that his owner made, still makes him wear, if it's around his neck, so mamon of shach. If it falls and breaks, there's no point. He's just gonna, it's, and then like we explained at the beginning of the shiur, it's made out of clay. Since it's made out of clay, so it's useless. It's broken. He'll leave it where it is. And I'll have to deal with his owner. If, however, it falls off, it's you could put it back on. But he's not going to want to walk around with a garment that way. And therefore, he's going to be caught carrying. And therefore, to avoid that, Shmuel says that type of garment, that type of emblem, may not be worn, even if it's an emblem that his owner makes him wear. He made the following rule. All of the Rabbanan that learned in the Resh Galusa have to wear Lelifka Besar B'lechassime. May not go out with Shabbos with their garments that they used to have emblems on their garments that they were learning by him or were living off him. You could walk her out even with their garment with the emblem. So again, as Rashi explains, they used to wear these emblems to show that they are subservient to the Resh Galusa, and therefore everybody else can't walk out with them on Shabbos. Rav Chinana bar Shila could. Why is Rav Chinana bar Shila okay? Because Rav Chinana bar Shila was not so subservient to the Resh Galusa, and we're not concerned that the Resh Galusa will do anything to him if he catches him without the emblem. And so the Rishonim, the Ritva, asks just the opposite. So he should not be allowed to wear the emblem, because we should be concerned that he could take off the emblem and not, he has nothing to be concerned about. So answers the Ritva. An Eved wearing an emblem, as we discussed a few moments ago, is indeed embarrassing. And therefore, we need to be concerned that if he's not obligated to wear that emblem, he may take off the emblem. Wearing an emblem that you're part of the Resh Galusa's yeshiva is not embarrassing. And therefore, we're not concerned that he's going to take it off in the Rishus Rabbim. And we're also not concerned that if it falls off, that he's going to do anything to try to conceal it and carry it the wrong way, because he's not scared of the Resh Galusa. As we learn this sugya, the question, of course, comes up regarding different emblems that people wear on Shabbos. Are they allowed to wear them on Shabbos, or are they not allowed to wear on Shabbos? Because, as we unfortunately know, during the history of Klal Yisrael, in different places, they were obligated, they were forced to wear different stars or different patches to show that they're Jews. The Or Zeruah in Hilchos Shabbos already discusses this. He says that when he lived in France, there was an obligation that all Jews we're obligated to wear his emblems on Shabbos. And he says, we have the heter of our Mishnah. Since they're sewn on, then we're now, and you have to wear them, we're now worried that someone's going to take them off. And the Ramah quotes this Arzurua. The Ramah is Ayur Chaim, Simen Shin Aleph, Sif Katan Chaf Gimel, that says, Hagulim, Harirukim, Shigazri Malcha, Shikol Yudi Yisra Sabaksusim, that you have to wear them. Mutta Lotzes Ben B'Shabbos, you'll have to wear them on Shabbos. And he says, Afilu Ain Tofa B'Bigdoi, even if it's not sewn on well. Rab Mechubisham Ktsas, it's just minimally connected. And there are two reasons why the Makel. One is that they become part of the Begit, the Magen Avraham explains, even if they're not really sewn on. And then the other reason is the Mishnah Berurah says in Sifkaten Pei Gimel, since they're worn all the time on the Begit, and there's an Amos Malchus, if they don't wear it, that's why it's not considered a Masui. The Chelkas Yaakov, in the Shalos HaTshuvos Ora Chaim Simen Tzadik Vav, takes this heter a step further. There's a Mishnah, he says, that we're going to learn on Daf Samach Gimel Amud Aleph, to Shulchan Aruch and Ora Chaim Simen Shin Aleph, Siv Zayin, Paskins, the halacha that we learn in that Mishnah, that the halacha is, Lo Yetzi Ish, Lo B'Saif, Lo B'Keshes, a person's not allowed to walk out on Shabbos carrying a sword, carrying a bow and arrow. And he says, in certain countries, soldiers in the army, part of their uniform is that they always wear a sword. And the question is a soldier allowed to walk out with that sword on Shabbos? So he says that since those swords are not worn to be used as a weapon in a war, the only reason that they're worn is because that's the way these honor guards walk, with a sword on the side of their feet. That's called a tachshit. And since it's a tachshit, and he brings a raya that's considered a tachshit, he says the first thing that a soldier who acts inappropriately is punished is by taking away the sword from him. And since it's considered a tachshit, he may wear it. Here too, and then the other heter, he says, is our Gemara, that anything that you're wearing to show that you're an Eved and your owner requires you to wear, so then it's considered a chosim that your owner makes you wear. And like the Arzurua Paskin, like the Ramah Paskins, anything that the government obligates you to wear is considered a tach, is something that you're allowed to wear on Shabbos. The Micha Shlomer of Shlomer Zalman in the Shalos HaTshuvos Chelek Aleph Siman Tes discusses, in Israel, the law apparently is that a soldier always has to carry his gun. So there's a soldier who's obligated always to wear his gun, allowed to wear his gun on Shabbos. So the Rav Shlomo Zalman says that that's not like the sword that we speak about in the Tshuva and the Chelkas Yaakov. He doesn't mention the Chelkas Yaakov. He says the sword there is only worn as a tachshit. Nobody fights with a sword. A soldier doesn't use a sword to fight anymore. But a gun is used in war, so therefore he says you can't wear that. I saw that the Chashuki Chemed discusses what's the halacha that if somebody wears something around his neck or around a bracelet that he's an allergic to a certain medicine or he has a certain medical condition. So he says that certainly may be worn on Shabbos. And the explanation is very easy to understand. He says that just like we learned that we're going to learn, that the halacha is that you're allowed to wear on Shabbos a kameya mumcha. They used to wear a kameya, that was a refuah. So just like that's a refuah, wearing a bracelet or a necklace that speaks about your medical condition, of course, is also refuah, that you should be treated properly. And certainly you're allowed to wear that on Shabbos. There's a question. What about people have different emblems on their clothing, or they have metals? Are they allowed to wear it? So the Michas Yitzchak and the Chela Gimel Simen Chavov paskins that they're not considered a tachshit and they may not be worn. The Shmir Shabbos Kol Chasoy says that these are a tachshit. You're wearing it to show that you're a member of a certain group. You're wearing it to show that you excelled in whatever you excelled, and therefore he paskins that you may wear them on Shabbos. Continues the Gemara. Gufa, Amar Shmuel, Yoytze Eved B'chelson Shebetzavarai. The Eved may work out on Shabbos with the emblem that's around his neck. Avloi B'chelson B'shebetzusoi, but not the one that's sewn onto his beged, as we discussed. Vermini asked the Gemara, there's a different braisa that says, Lo Yoytze Eved B'chelson Shebetzavarai, he may not wear either type of emblem. And furthermore, they're not mekabel tuma. Something that's not there as a tachshit is not mekabel tuma. And furthermore, he may now walk out with a bell that's around his neck. He may walk out with a bell that's attached to his clothing. And by the bell, the halach is zevzeh mekablum tuma. Both of them are mekabel tuma. And then continues the brayso. V'loy teitzbeim v'loy b'chosim shetzavaroi v'loy b'chosim shebeksusoi. An animal may now walk out with any type of emblem, not the one that's around its neck, not the one that's on its clothing. V'loy b'zuk shebeksusoi v'loy b'zuk shebetzavaroi. Nor may walk out wearing any type of bell. And there the halach is zevzeh mekablum tuma, that neither the emblems nor the bells are mekabel tuma. But what does this braisa say? That an eved may not go out with an emblem that's around his neck. We learned before that he is allowed to walk around with an emblem around to the neck. Why is an animal not allowed to walk around with a bell around its neck? Because it looks like you're taking it, we had this earlier in the Masechta, that it looks like you're taking it to be sold. Le mahada of le rabbi. So how do we reconcile these two braises? Answers the Gemara. Le mahada, the braise that says that he's allowed to wear an emblem around his neck, is the avalei rabbi, that his owner made it. And since his owner makes him wear it, as we discussed earlier in our shir, we're not worried that he's going to take it off because he's scared. But if he made it by himself, there we're worried that he's going to take it off for whatever reason and carry it. Says the Gemara Loi. That's not the way to reconcile the brises. Both brises refer to a situation that his owner made him the emblem and he's making him wear it. The difference is as follows. The brise that says that you now wear such an emblem around your neck is bematchis. It's when it's made out of metal. And if it breaks, you'll carry it home because it has value. And therefore, since you'll carry it home, because your owner will be upset at you, it has value. And therefore, you're not allowed to wear it even around your neck. Can, but if it's made out of tit, if it's made out of clay, so if it breaks, it has zero value. So yes, you have a problem with your owner that you're not wearing the emblem. You may have a problem with the owner that he will be upset that your emblem broke, but there's no point in carrying it home because it's worthless. So Rashi asked the obvious question. The Gemara is differentiating between if it's made out of metal or it's made out of clay. Why didn't the Gemara differentiate that one is where you made it yourself, and that's why I have to be concerned you may take it off, and one is where your owner made it, and I'm not concerned you're going to take it off. So Rashi explains, because we want to explain that the braises are talking about metal emblems, because we're talking about Kabbalah's tumah. And if it would not be made, if it's made out of clay, as we're going to learn, it's not mekabel tumah. But since we see that the Brises not only speak about the Isser of Shabbos, but the Brises also reflect about Kabbalah's Tumah, that's why we're better off explaining everything when it's speaking about metal, just differentiating between metal and tit versus that they're all made out of metal. Says the Gemara, continues the Gemara. Krav Nachman Amar Avavua, Dava Makbrilov Rabbi. If it's something the owner will be makbid, that if it breaks you should bring home, then the halacha is Ein Yotzimba, you may not wear on Shabbos. Dava She'ein Makbrilov, but if it's something that the owner won't care if it broke, that you should bring home, because it really doesn't have any value, the halacha is Yotzimba, you'll have to wear on Shabbos. And says the Gemara, Hachanam Mistabra, and that makes sense to explain. Midiktani, as we just explained, the second Braisa speaks about Zevaze and Mekam Tuma. The Amr Bishlam Mishlamatchis, if we're going to say that's talking about metal, Shani, Hani, Hudla Mekabal Tuma, that's when these emblems are not Mekabal Tuma because they're only emblems. Hakeim the day, if you had a Keli made out of those materials, there would be Mekabal Tuma. As we've discussed many times, metal kalim on makabel tuma. Eli am b'shal tanan. If we're talking about clay, so it's difficult to understand the brisa. Hani hu d'lo makabel tuma? Are they not makabel tuma because they're only emblems? Or kalim to do? If they were regular vessels, they would be makabel tuma. V'tanya kli avonim, kalim made out of stone, kli galolim that are made out of dung, kli adoma out of clay, a makabel tuma lemedivri tarva lemedivri sefrim, and then makabel tuma. L'shma mino, that this price is talking about matchis, and now we understand he's concerned if they fall off, that he has to bring the parts home because they're valuable, and he'll be carrying on Shabbos. Omamar, so we learned in the brisa, loy bezug shebet savorai, that the eved may now walk out with a bell that's tied to his around his neck, so he could go out with the bell that's on his clothing. Ask the Gemara, why don't we allow him to wear a bell around his neck? Because we're concerned that a bell may fall off and he'll carry it. So ask the Gemara, if that's the concern, so then the bell around on his beged, we should have the same concern. That it may fall off and you'll carry it. Answers the Gemara, where it was sewn on very well onto the garment. Rav Huna b'Reid Rav Yeshua. Rav Huna b'Reid Rav Yeshua teaches us a new halacha. Damar Rav Huna b'Reid Rav Yeshua, kol shu orig, something that's tied on well, like Gosru. And as the Rishonim explained this Gemara, we learned in our previous year that chutim that are braided into a woman's hair, a woman may wear them on Shabbos. And we're not concerned that they're going to take it off. Here too, anything that's sewn on well, braided on tight, we're not concerned you'll take off on Shabbos. And therefore, these concerns are not there. Amamar, but we learned also in the Braisa that we quoted earlier, an animal may not go out with an emblem that's on its neck, an emblem on its clothing, it may not go out with a bell that's around its neck, nor may it go around with a bell on its clothing, and zevza emekav motoma. And the Namba Kabal Tuma. Ask the Gemara, the Zug the Behema Ema Kabal Tuma. Is that true that the bell that an animal wears is Namba Kabal Tuma? Verminu, I'll ask you a question. It says in a Braisa, Zug Shah Behema Tameya, the bell that an animal wears is Makabal Tuma. The Sheldelis, the bell that's on a door is Tahira. The reason the bell that's on a door is Tahira is because the delis is mechuba labayis, And the halacha is that anything that's mechubal karka, anything that's connected to the ground, is not mekabel tuma. So, Sheldelis continues the braisa. If I had a bell that was attached to the door, vasla behema, and now I put it on to the animal, even though I didn't do any act in changing the bell, all I did was just put it around the neck of the animal, it's already mekabel tuma. Whereas you have a bell that was used for an animal, shebehema, it was used for an animal, and then v'aslo delos, and then I put it around the door, api shechav v'ladalos, I attached it to the door, v'kavah b'mesmarim, and I knocked it in with nails, it's still mekabel tuma. Why? Because the halach is, kol ha-kelim yordan l'day tamosu b'machshava, as soon as you have a machshava, as soon as you decide to use for that keli, to use that keli in a way that it's mekabel tuma, even though you didn't do anything, it's already mekabel tuma. But if it's a keli that's mekabel tuma, ein oil m'day tamosum, it doesn't lose that status unless you physically change it b'shinui maisa, and just attaching something to the door is not considered a shinui maisa because you didn't really change the bell itself. You have to do something physical in the bell. So Rav Elchanan and the Kibbutz Shiurim, the stipler that asks, here it says that if you had the bell and you attached it to the house, to the delis, it's still mekabel tuma. So they say there's actually a machloikis regarding this subject, in Masechet Baba Basra, Daf Samach Vav Amud Aleph. Something that was detached and then you attached it, is it considered like a dover that's mechubal karka or not? The Rav Elazar holds that at that point it's considered like it's mechubal karka. The Chacham hold that it's not considered like mechubal karka. So the posh pshat is that our braisa that says that the bell that was used for an animal and now being used for a person follows the opinion of the Chachamim. And Rav Elchanan explains, when we speak about something that's mechubal karka, that it's not mechubal tuma, it's not because it is or isn't a keli. It's because the karka is not mechubal tuma. And therefore, anything that's in the category of karka, even if it's a keli, will still be mechubal, will still not be mechubal tuma, according to Rav Elazar. The stipler explains that according to Rav Elazar, what did we just say? We just said that attaching something to a door is not considered a shinui maisa. Says the stipler that exactly is the machloikis of Rav Elazar and the Rabbanan. The Rabbanan hold that attaching something to the ground is not considered a shinui maisa. Whereas Rav Elazar holds that just attaching it to the ground is enough to make it be considered a shinui maisa, and therefore it's no longer mekabel tuma. But so now we're back to a question that we said that the bell around the neck of the animal is not mekabel tuma, and here we learn that it is mekabel tuma. Answers the Gemara loikasha. This lay imbal, if the bell has the clapper inside, then it's mekabel tuma, if it can make the noise. Hadalesle imbal, if it doesn't have the clapper inside, then it's not mekabel tuma. Ask the Gemara, I don't understand. Manushach. Im manahu, if it's considered a keli, afbi dalesle imbal, then it should make a difference if it has a clapper or not. Ilav manahu, and if it's not considered a keli, is imbal mashvili mona, is the clapper that makes it into a keli? So the way Rashi explains, a bell is a tachshit. And since it's a tachshit, it's not the clapper that makes it into a keli. Answers the Gemara, absolutely. It's the clapper that makes it into the keli. In. Kri Rav Shmuel ben Nachmeni, Om Rav Yoinesen. Dom Rav Shmuel ben Nachmeni, Om Rav Yoinesen. Menayin l'mishmir kol b'kli matchashu tamei. How do we know that what gives off the void, the sound, is what makes the keli be mekabel tuma? Shenemar. The Pasuk, and actually as all the Rishonim tell us, This pasuk is regarding the halacha of kashering. The Torah says, "Kol davar shiyov be'esh taviru be'esh." Afilu davar, afilu dibra, something that gives off sound, that yov be'esh has to be purified. So we see that Kabbalah's tumah, it depends on Kabbalah's tumah depends on if it gives a sound. If it makes sound, it's makabel tumah. If not, not. So of course, as we just pointed out, this pasuk is talking about kashering. Well, how does that have to? What does that have to do with the halachas that we're talking about of Kabbalah's tumah? So Tosfos and the Rashba both say we have to continue learning that pasuk. That pasuk continues saying, "Ach b'mei nida yischata." So since the pasuk says, "Ach b'mei nida yischata," so from there we see that it's not just talking about kashering; it's also talking about something that should be used for Kabbalah's tumah that you have to put into the mikvah. The Bnei Yisoschar, there's a very famous word from the Bnei Yisoschar based on this Gemara. The Bnei Yisoschar says the way to understand this Gemara is depends if it gives a sound. That is the tum and tahara. So he explains as follows. He says that we know that while a person is alive, he's able to do mitzvahs. He's able to learn Torah. He's able to teach Torah. But when a person unfortunately leaves the world, he no longer has those abilities. However, if the person leaves over Talmidim and they say Divrei Torah in his name, so suffice of Divrei Bekever, even when he's in the kever, even when he's no longer alive, he's still teaching Torah. So what the Gemara is teaching us is that kol davar dibur, a person's ability to speak, even when he's in fire, even when he's no longer here, still has the ability to make fire and still has the ability to teach Torah, divrei Torah, compared to fire. Even if he's not here, his dibur remains. Says the Gemara, b'maya kimta. So how did we explain the first brisa when we said that the bell is not makabel tumah? We explained that it's talking about a bell, the lesley imbol, that doesn't have a clapper. Eim mitziosa. Let's discuss that brisa further. We spoke in that brisa about the bell that's worn by a slave. So we learned, v'loy bezug shebetzavari, he may not wear a bell that's around his neck, avo yoytzehu, bezug shebeksusoy, he's allowed to wear a bell attached to his clothing. We furthermore learned in the brisa, v'zev v'zev mekabel tumah, both of these types of bell are mekabel tumah. So the question is, if that brisa is speaking about the lesley imbol that doesn't have a clapper, so we have a question. Mi mekabel tumah is such a brisa, is such a bell mekabel tumah v'reminu. The brisa teaches us hoisin zagel machteshes. If they put a bell around the mortar, as the Gemara teaches us, many places that when they used to make spices, the Gemara Masechta Krisis, the Avavam Beis teaches us hakol yofel psamim. Sound is good for psamim. And as the Sfasemis explains, that even though the sound that's made there is speaking about human sound, person talking or speaking or singing, says the Sfasemis that a person's sound is better when there's an accompaniment to that sound. So if somebody makes a bell near where on the mortar where they make the spices, or larisa, they attach it to the cradle of a baby, or metachas svarim, or metachas tanaikis, they used to put it on the books that they learnt with, or the books that the children learnt with, that they should know that it's the time to come to learn. Yesh lo imbol, so if they have a clapper, the mekabel tumah. Ein lo imbol, tahirim. Nitnu abayim, if the clapper was removed, adayin tumasun aleim. So we see that a bell that doesn't have a clapper is not mekabel tumah. But here with the brisa says that the bell that the eved wears is mekabel tumah. Answers the Gemara, hanimili, when is the clapper essential? When they're for the children. The sound is what's critical, as we explained. The kol avidalei. And if it's missing the clapper, it's not a keli. And if it's not a keli, it's not mekabel tumah. Ava godel, the bell that's worn by an adult. The reason he wears such a clapper is tachshu hulei. It's to be a tachshit. And there, it's a tachshit, afgav de lesle imbol, even if it doesn't have the bell attached to it. So actually, what happens in this Gemara is very interesting. First, the Gemara thought that the clapper shouldn't make a difference. And then the Gemara says that it does make a difference if it has a clapper or not. And now the Gemara is saying that the clapper doesn't make a difference, but it makes a difference why the bell is being worn. Sometimes the clapper is essential to Kabbalah's Toma, and sometimes the clapper is not essential to Kabbalah's Toma. So Amar, so we learned that Nitmul Abayim, that even though if the clapper was removed, Adayin Tomas Malayim, the still Makabal Toma. But ask the Gemara, Lamai Chaza, what could you use a bell without a clapper? Answers the Gemara, Amar Abaya. So Abaya tells us a very big chiddush. Hoyel Shehedi Yochel Achziray. Abaya teaches us that anything that could easily be repaired is still, the fact that it's not usable now because it's missing that part, it's, for example, the bell that's missing the clapper, since it could be easily repaired, it's still considered a keli that's makabel tuma. Ask the Gemara Masav Rava. The Mishnah says, Habzug ve'engel chibur. The bell and the clapper are treated attached. And that means two halachas. That if one part of the bell comes in contact with the avat tuma, then both parts are tuma. Because if they were not considered one keli, the halacha is that if one part came in contact with avat tuma, it wouldn't have the ability to transfer tuma to the other part. It's only considered one, since it's considered one keli, so even if just one part came in contact with avat tuma, it's tuma. Both parts are tuma. So if we see that it's considered only one keli, when they're considered one keli, the halacha should be that if it's removed, it's no longer a keli. V'chi tema. And if you'll say, the way to understand that Mishnah is hachikomer. The way to understand that Mishnah is afgav d'loy mechaber, that even when they're not attached, ke mechaber domi, we're going to treat them like they're attached. Says the Gemara, I'll show you that can't be pshat. V'tanya. The Brisa teaches us, we learned this Brisa, Mispire Shal Prokim. You have a scissor made up of two parts. That means the two parts of the scissor, the two parts could be attached and unattached. Vizmal Sharitni, they have a plane that the carpenters used to use, and they used to put a handle on it, and you could easily put on the handle and take off the handle. Chibulatuma, if one part becomes tame, the other part becomes tame, then chibulazah. But if, let's say, it became tamei mace, then we know that halacha is with something which is tamei mace, we have to sprinkle on it the parah aduma water, then you have to sprinkle on both parts. And sprinkling on one part won't help the other part. V'aminin. And we ask a question. Manavshach. Ichibahu. If they're considered attached, then afil azor. Then the sprinkling on one part should work for the other one. V'ilav chibahu. And if they're not considered attached, afil atumanamiloi. Then as far as Hilchas Tumah also they shouldn't be considered attached. And just because one part got Tumah, it shouldn't affect the other part. V'omer Rabbah, and Rabbah explained, the Dvat Torah b'shas melacha, when they're being used, they should be considered chibur connected, bein l'tumah bein l'azah. Because now they're in use, and they can only be used with both parts attached to each other. Shaloi b'shas melacha, when they're not being used, ain't a chibur, they should not be considered attached, loy l'tumah v'loy l'azah. The Gozer Atom Shaloi B'Shas Melacha. However, Chazal said that even when they're not being used, they should be considered one keli because Mishtom Mishal B'Shas Melacha, because when they're being used, they obviously need to be connected. V'Azor Shi B'Shas Melacha, and Chazal said that you sprinkle on them, that the halacha really ought to be that if you sprinkle on part of it, it should work for all of it, because when they're not connected, it doesn't work. Mishtom Mishal B'Shaloi B'Shas Melacha. But what do we see from this Braisa? Rava said that the Braisa clearly teaches us that they're considered connected with Hilchas Tumah. They're not considered connected as far as Hilchas Chazal. They're considered one when they're connected. But when they're not connected, they're considered separate. So why bet a bell when it's not connected? Is it still considered? When the clapper is not there, is it still considered a keli?